Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Maynard and Edgar putting on a show.
Outstanding.
Wow.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
It is all over. Just like that.
Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ground Zero. I'm talking about the Sports Byline headquarters here in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California, for another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Yes, the man was correct in that lofty introduction, as my name is Pedro Fernandez, and this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated, but hardly duplicated. 37 plus years now of knocking out all bumps. In this hour, we'll hear from the comeback kid. Well, that's really sort of a comeback kid. Mike Tyson going to take on Roy Jones in a couple of weeks. Of course, for no title on the line except two old guys going to make some money on pay-per-view fighting an exhibition. An exhibition means they don't have to really get cleared by the athletic commissions. They can smoke weed going into the fight. I'm talking about Mike Tyson, things like that. Bottom line is Roy Jones and Mike Tyson has all the earmarks of a farce, and, of course, a farce in which Roy Jones can get hurt. At the end of the day, it's Roy Jones' fight to get hurt in. That's the way I see it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. We'll get into the occupations of fighters, of course, that have full-time jobs and part-time jobs and that kind of good stuff, and some odd jobs as well a little bit later in the show. But we've got open phone lines around the planet and, of course, the text line. You could text us here in the studio. That's sort of a little more popular than the call-in line. People are scared to come on the air with me sometimes, and I don't blame them, because if you say something stupid, I will, hang up on you. Anyway, bottom line is the toll-free phone number is 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. The text line is hot as happening. I got some texts after the break I'll go to, but you can text us here in the studio. I'll get to it during the show. 1-415-275-1613. That's 1-415-275-1613. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide with Tower of Power, Emilio Castillo, and the boys at the bank.
The style of your hair, the way that you fare, under all conditions, your mind, all of the time. So wonderful, so marvelous, girl, you're everything to me, and you're super fine.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eyes. I watched one fight, Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. He was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Fighters had to dance around Roy.
Good old Earthquake doing this thing on HBO. Back in the days when HBO did comedy, of course, that was before a fight. And, of course, Earthquake and boxing sort of come hand in hand. Roy Jones going to take on Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson is being accused by Chael Sonnen. Chael's been on this show in the past. Of course, he was the guy that fought Anderson Silva for the World Middleweight Championship. I believe that was back in 2008 at the Oakland Coliseum Arena. He was winning after four rounds. He lost in the fifth round. Anderson came back and I think won on a submission of some kind. Anyway, the bottom line is Chael Sonnen is sort of like a journeyman type of light heavyweight. I mean, he's fought everybody in the legends category and that kind of good stuff. And he was fighting as up to a couple of years ago in legend fights. Anyway, he's saying right now, he said on his YouTube channel that he thinks that Mike Tyson is using steroids. That's just what he said. I mean, the American gangster, that's what he calls himself. He had plenty to say about, of course, as these two guys come together for this big fight. I'm talking about Roy Jones and, of course, Mike Tyson. And why do I say it's a big fight? Because people are talking to me. People are asking me about it. I mean, seriously, I'm very bored by it. I'm not all that enticed by it. I mean, Mike Tyson, I find, is an electrifying celebrity. I mean, some of the stuff he said, we'll get to those quotes a little bit later, maybe in the next segment. I mean, some of the stuff he said over the years have been, you know, riveting. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, he's 52 years old. And I think to look as good as he looks right now, the enhancement of his body by Flintstone vitamins and or performance-enhancing drugs, I don't think is out of the question. I mean, I really don't. I mean, and if Roy Jones isn't using something, Roy's stupid. I mean, because if you're going to fight in an advanced age, If you're going to fight at an advanced age, you're going to put yourself at risk at an advanced age. I would go in there. I'm sorry, but if I had to fight at my age or to fight at an advanced age, I would cheat. I'm sorry, I would cheat. Because the fairness has already been taken away from the fact that I'm old. So I'm not going to be able to perform. So I'm probably, you would entice me probably if I was in my, you know, elder years as far as fighting is concerned to probably take some performance enhancing drugs that might be illegal. I'm sorry, I might do it, but I might do it as an old man. Wouldn't do it as a young guy. I'd be afraid to pollute my body. But if I was an old guy and I was desperate, I might take it. So now these guys are going to hook up in this multi-million-dollar showdown. Of course, it's going to go down, I believe, in Southern California, and they say it's 12 rounds and it's 2-minute rounds. They're going to score the rounds. How do you score an exhibition? Let me tell you like this. The only exhibition I didn't go out and somebody kicks and try to kick somebody's ass in, and as the honest guy truth, and they gave me a lot of exhibitions, was that one with Carlos De Leon down there in Burlingame, California. It was supposed to be me and Benitez didn't show. He pulled out that day, pulled out of the town the day before. So Gordon Ashby, the promoter, said, you want to box an exhibition with Carlos De Leon? I said, we box all the time in the gym. Sugar De Leon, who was the world cruiserweight champion at the time when I think the cruiserweight title was WBC, when the cruiserweight title was 190 pounds. So I boxed an exhibition with him. But outside of that exhibition, every exhibition I ever boxed in my life, I fought for my life. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it wasn't like, you know, unless you had bums. I mean, there was a lot of times when you went down to the Valley and went to Stockton and went to Modesto and places like that and fought guys who were lesser than you, and it was sort of this, I mean, that's how I sort of padded my record. I padded a lot of those fights. I went down there to, I mean, I wasn't proud of those fights, but they taught me how to fight to an extent, and I got experience down there in the Valley fighting, you know, guys off the farm and this and that, and guys fresh across the border and that kind of good stuff. So I got experience fighting those guys, and with the exception of one in that Turlock, California debacle where they disqualified me, I was kicking that guy's ass with Joe Jaime something. Anyway, outside of that, you know, I did real well in the Valley. I did. I mean, the Valley was cool. It was a learning experience for me. And guys have to learn how to fight. And that's what I think's wrong. And I'm segueing into the UFC now. The fact that the UFC fighters don't really get any easy fights. They don't get to really have easy fights. In other words, it's every death match, and you keep winning these death matches until it comes to a point in time where the odds are stacked against you, and either Father Time or luck or fate steps in, and you lose. And you lose before you become a superstar, because that's the way the formula is laid out. I mean, they don't want to build superstars in that sport, because if they did, they'd have to pay them superstar money. I mean, earlier, we heard Henry Cejudo, the former two-division champion of the UFC, 135 and 125-pound champion, saying he wanted heavyweight money. He wasn't even getting flyweight money. They wanted to take away his division after he won the belt. They wanted to, they didn't expect him to win against Demetrius Johnson. So they were going to either have Demetrius Johnson move away to another sanctioning body, or he was going to move up in weight, okay, to 135. Instead, he moved away to another sanctioning body because he lost to Henry Cejudo. Big upset there. But Henry Cejudo lit him up like the White House Christmas tree, okay? He loses there. So Cejudo's a champion at 125. Then he beats the champion at 135. It was an upset there. He wasn't supposed to win that fight. So he pulls off these two upsets, and what happens? What happens? He gets like, He's got the outhouse now. Instead of having the penthouse, you know, like going up to the penthouse and in this nice apartment building, a swank apartment building, Dana White is giving him the outhouse. That's what happens when you cross Dana White. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that, you know, he is the pimp of all pimps, and that's my opinion. Being a former police officer, I can tell you that, you know, he couldn't work as a pimp in the city and county of San Francisco. No, because if he told his girls, baby, I'm only, you know, how much you going to make for me? $100? Well, out of the $100, you got to give me $88. No, take it back. Yeah, 88. Yeah, maybe 90. 90, give me $90 out of 100. In other words, you're going to let a girl for going, doing her thing, doing the dirty deed, you're going to give her $10 out of the $100 you're charging? Well, that's what the USC is doing with their fighters. They're getting 8 to 10%. Some people say 12. Dana White was willing to cop to 12, and he was willing to cop to 12. That sort of makes me thinking maybe it ain't 12. But at the end of the day, the fighters are being severely shortchanged. And when you're being shortchanged in that type of environment, you know, you're willing to take fights maybe that you shouldn't take, and you have to take fights. In other words, Dana says you take a fight. If Dana says I'm fighting King Kong tomorrow, I'm either fighting King Kong tomorrow or I'm going to fight King Kong down the road. In other words, if I don't step in and fight King Kong for him tomorrow, he's going to put me in such a bad spot that I'll be fighting four or five King Kongs in a row. I kid you not. He's a mean spirited guy at times. I mean, he's a control. What do they say? Power is corruption. Absolute power is absolutely corruptible. Something like that. Some old saying. But the bottom line is he's got total power calling his shots. Now, I give him credit for putting on shows. There's no doubt about it. He's been putting on shows. But as far as quality is concerned, he doesn't have the product anymore. And of course, that's because of the fact that, you know, you can't put $4.2 billion. You can't equate the UFC with $4.2 billion. I mean, have they been smart? Have they done their events, of course, when other sports have not been able to? Yes, they have. Of course, they've been doing them both in Dubai. They have some arena in Dubai. And, of course, they've been doing them here in Las Vegas at that little UFC Apex Center they got down there. And it's been a good hustle. They've had a good run. There's no doubt about it. Of course, you know, good fighters on the card. But am I all that excited about these cards? Not really. I mean, Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira, of course, they went last week on the 7th. Last night, of course, at the UFC Apex Center as well, of course, lightweights did battle. Rafael Dos Anjos, the former champion, won a split decision over Paul Felder. Split decision 48-47 was the score for Felder. And that means three rounds of two. And then 50-45 and 50-45 with the other two cards. That means 5-0 shutouts on both those two judges' scorecards. Big disparity in the judging there. One judge saw it totally the other way almost. Anyway, that's 7 points. It's a 7 point move. 7 points. That's a lot of move. That's a big move. 7 points is a lot in a fight for one judge to have 7 points off the other two judges. Anyway, and the co-feature, Chaos Williams won a decision. Take that back. He knocked out Abdul Razak in the first round, 30 seconds. And outside of that, the rest of the card sort of, like I told you, sort of sucked. Outside of that women's strawweight bout, Cody McKenna decision, Kay Henson. Outside of, you know, nothing here. Nothing's jumping out. I mean, they had to dig up Anderson Silva last week. They had to dig him up for that fight against, you know, I mean, they did. I mean, how old is he? 35, 45, 46 years old, 36 fights, had like lost 6 of the last 7 or something like that. And they had to prop him up and put him in the main event because they're hurting. $4.2 billion. Whoever Dana White sold that stuff to, man, those guys should put a hit out on Dana. They should put a hit out on him. I'm serious. He took them. $4.2 billion. $4,200 million for a pink elephant. That's what I think the UFC is. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
Like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
I don't know. It's more nerve-wracking for me to hear us talking to a rat piece of like
oh,
you.
Come on, Mike.
Not because you're a piece of
all right.
Really that
we're gonna wrap up this interview. Thank you for coming in.
Headbutt in the second round, which opened the gash on your eye. Tell us about that first thing.
He butted me in the first round, but then he butted me again in the second round. Then as soon as he butted me, I watched him. He had me holding and he looked right at me, and I saw him, and he was going for it, and he kept going for it, and he butted me again. He kept going down and coming up, and he charged into me. And no one warned him. No one took any points for him. What am I to do? This is my career. I can't continue getting butted like that. I got children to raise, and this guy keeps butting me, trying to cut me and getting me stopped on cut. I got to retaliate.
Now, immediately, you stop. You stop fighting immediately right there, and you turn to Mills Lane, and you said what? And the result was he did nothing. But what did you say to Mills right at that time?
I don't remember what I said. I told him that he butted me. But I know I complained about being butted. And we complained about the first fight. Listen, Holyfield's not the tough warrior everyone said he is. He got a little nicks on it there and he quit. I got an eye. I got one eye. I got one eye. He's not impaired. He got ears. I got one eye. Big deal. If he take one, I got another one. I'm ready to fight. He didn't want to fight. I'm ready to fight him right now.
Mills Lane, no. Mills Lane stopped the fight. It wasn't Holyfield who stopped.
Oh, he didn't want to fight.
Let me ask.
We don't know what Mills is. Don't put nothing on Mills.
Well, Mills said he stopped the fight. You bit him. Was that a retaliation for the eye when you bit him in his ear?
Regardless of what I did, he butted me for two fights.
But you got to address it, Mike.
I did address it. I addressed it in the ring.
Why did you do that, though, Mike? I mean, was
look
that the proper
me.
Response?
Look at me. I got to go home and my kids are going to be scared of me. Look at me, man.
What are you going to do now in terms of your career, Mike?
Thank you very much, Jim, for respect.
Okay.
Well, extraordinary stuff there.
You said things like before fights about your opponents. I want to punch him on the tip of the nose to drive bone up through his brain.
You know what? I was a young kid then. Yeah. I'm 43 years old. And all right, you still dwell on something I said at 20 years old, or 21 years old, or 19 years old. I'm 43. What do you want to get from this interview?
I want to see how much you've changed, Mike. You're a different person now, aren't you?
I don't know if I am or not. I don't want to be the person I was, but I don't know. Change comes in time. Change comes really in time. You're irritating me now. I guess I did change because I'm not assailing you.
I would love to spend more time with you. You are an incredible guy. Thank you so much.
What the hell did you put me on the show for?
I put you on the show to get you on to talk about your series. We talked for a long time, actually.
Oh, no, but we talked for a long time off the camera.
The new show, Mike Tyson Mysteries, airs every Monday
Don
night
Lennon
at 10:30
p.m.
I had Adult Swim. Thank you, Mike Tyson.
We know you're a convicted rapist. This could hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You're the only one I heard say that.
Life, eyes, and lows.
So interesting that you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of shit.
Hey,
with that comment.
Come on.
That's... No, that was a piece of...
You know, we're doing live TV.
Yeah, I don't care. What are you going to do about it?
All right.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're irritating me now.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, Mike Tyson, a little bit uncharted there. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show industry, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. That wasn't my cue. That was somebody else's. Some of the upcoming fights, of course, heavyweight's going to do battle across the pond. Joe Joyce, 11-0, taking on 19-0. Daniel Dubois, of course, these guys are hooking it up. They are two heavyweights from the UK, and I'm of the opinion I could beat Joe Joyce on any given day. That's how bad of a fighter Joe Joyce is, I kid you not. Maybe he wasn't in shape for that last fight he had against that stiff, but the bottom line is he looks like a stiff to me. As far as a world-ranked heavyweight is concerned, he's not a world-ranked heavyweight. No way, no how. Absolutely not. Anyway, undefeated. So many other fights coming up. Danny Garcia, of course, and Earl Spence. Spence, of course, the aforementioned world welterweight champion, of course, said Terrence Crawford. They want to set up the super fight. Bob Arum was talking about that in depth an hour or more. And of course, 26-0, 21 KOs. But there's that one asterisk next to his name, of course, getting flipped out of that car last December of 2019. Of course, got flipped out of a car at 115 miles an hour. The video's there. You see him, this object being hurled out of the car out of the sunroof. And he came out of the sunroof. And guess what, man? You know, he's still alive. But he suffers some neurological damage, I think, of unparalleled proportions. Because, I mean, I looked at his eyes. I mean, you don't have to be a neurosurgeon to look at some guy's eyes and realize after he's been thrown out of a car, if he's got blood in his eyes, there's been some bleeding going on, some neurological bleeding in his skull, in his head, in his brain. Okay, and you don't have to be a neurosurgeon to figure that one out. But they say that Earl Spence is training hard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, him and Danny Garcia are going to hook it up the 5th of December. Of course, that was supposed to be the date of Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia. Of course, Luke Campbell testing positive for the COVID virus. So that fight's been probably pushed off until January. Ryan Garcia, sort of getting a lot of rips at 135. People say he's a bot. People say, you know, he's got a whole bunch of girls following him, this and that. He's not a real fighter, this and that. I think that Ryan Garcia is going to surprise a lot of people at the end of the day. I think that power he has is unparalleled as far as left hook's concerned. He's knocking guys dead with one punch. Boom. One punch. That's a statement. When you can go out there and knock somebody dead, a world-class fighter, and with one punch, guess what? I think you made a statement. Ryan Garcia's making those statements. Now, Danny Garcia, the former junior welterweight champion, he's not making those statements. I mean, he just isn't. I mean, look at Danny now. What is he, 36-2? Not a big puncher. Doesn't throw enough punches in a fight to win. And against a guy like Spence, of course, he's going to be throwing a lot of punches, unless Spence's damaged goods and he can get Spence discombobulated. In other words, step on his foot, maybe hit him with an elbow, you know, rough him up, this and that, make him stress to an extent. Unless you can get him to stress, I think that Spence rolls through this fight because Danny Garcia is the perfect foil for a comeback fight for Earl Spence. I mean, if you got a guy that's damaged goods, why not bring a guy in that's one division smaller than you, that doesn't punch hard to begin with, that doesn't throw a lot of punches? You hear what I'm trying to say? He's a perfect foil for the Earl Spence comeback. He just is. And Spence, as I said, I don't think he will ever be the fighter that people think that he is or was. I'm just not. I mean, am I sold on Crawford? Well, I went off Crawford's resume last week, in the last hour, and I talked about all the guys he's fought in those 15 title fights since he became champion, I think in 2015 or 2014, starting with Ricky Burns in the WBO Lightweight Championship. And not one of those guys in that card are even, they're not even a Hall of Famer in their own house. Okay, and there's nobody in even a Hall of Famer in the own house. Maybe Jeff Horn will be a Hall of Famer in the Australian Hall of Fame. But outside of that, you look at Terrence Crawford's resume. I mean, there's more, I don't want to say stiffs. They're not stiffs because any of these guys had good records. Like Victor Postal was unbeaten and he went the route with him. I mean, you know, Postal couldn't punch. But you know, I mean, you can't really say any of these guys are heralded fighters. And I think in order to be a heralded fighter, I'm of the opinion you have to beat a heralded fighter. It's just the way it is. I mean, you are who you beat. That's just the way boxing is. I mean, you could run up the numbers and run up like 1,000, 100, and 1,000 undefeated in 1,000 fights. You fought 1,000 guys like me, old and slow and fat and all that kind of good stuff, you'd be 1,000-0. That ain't the way it's done. Errol Spence, Danny Garcia, Errol Spence should roll in this fight because of the fact he's a bigger guy. And, of course, I say Garcia is very cheap when it comes to throwing punches. But if Errol Spence is damaged goods and Danny Garcia can get him to, like, think about that accident a little bit, he's got a chance in that fight. Right now, he's a 4-1 underdog. Long odds, but of course, you know, Vasyl Lomachenko is a 4-1 favor over Teofimo Lopez a fortnight ago, and Teofimo went out there and won the first 7 rounds. You guys are still shocked over that. People are saying to me, oh man, yeah, that's all they can do. All you can do is stutter about that one because you thought Vasyl Lomachenko, like, that he was going to be able to, like, just roll through this kid. Kid was like a young kid from Brooklyn, New York, undefeated in only, what, 14, 15 fights. He ain't much. He ain't much. That's what you guys were all saying. He ain't much. Well, Teofimo went out there and steamrolled him for the first 7 rounds. I put an asterisk next to the second round. In other words, I wanted to give Vasyl Lomachenko a welfare round. It might have been that round. But then I looked at the scorecard and the fights after the round after, I looked at the fight afterwards on tape, and there was no reason to give him the second round. So I scored the fight 9-3. For Teofimo Lopez. 9-3. That's a one-sided fight. For a 4-1 underdog? Come on. You gotta give him props. And now everybody's sort of like, Lomachenko wasn't all that much. No, Lomachenko was old. He was 32 and he was old. 400 amateur fights, 15 or 16 professional fights. That's a lot of training. That's a lot of camps. That's a lot of getting in shape. That's a lot of getting sharp. And guess what? That's a lot of wear and tear, both mentally and physically. And when it comes to father time, there's no remedy for father time in the world of boxing, or in the world at large. I mean, you know that. When it's your time, it's your time. And in boxing, the peak, the window of opportunity doesn't open for everybody. When it's open, it can open and shut in a heartbeat. If you don't get in there and make your time, when your time is right, guess what? You've blown it. Danny Garcia, props to him. Got a lot of money. Him and his dad put together a lot of money. They got some real estate, that kind of good stuff. So he can go off and do whatever he wants, okay? This may be his last payday as far as big fights are concerned, because I don't see him going anywhere outside of this fight at welterweight. 147, Danny's just not there. Sean Porter, they're talking about big things about Sean Porter. Sean Porter, of course, it may be taking on Terrence Crawford in his next fight, but then again, they want to do the Spence fight. Crawford wants to do the Spence fight. Spence wants to do probably not the Crawford fight. I don't know. What do you think? Who would win there? I mean, is that really that type of a fight where you can really sit there and go, ooh, both guys are undefeated, ooh, both guys are studs? This is not Sugar Ray Leonard or Thomas Hearns. Of course, Ray Leonard was one beaten when he went into that 1981 fight. September 1981 went into that fight with Tommy the Hitman Hearns. Hearns was undefeated. The knockout artist. Of course, Leonard went in there with that one loss to Duran. Of course, that was avenged with the No Mas win the next fight, November 25th, 1980, against Roberto. Of course, Roberto would, like, lie in obscurity for a couple of years, come back in 1983 and knock out first Pepino Cuevas, then Davey Moore, and then, of course, take on, wow, Marvin Hagler. And I remember Hector Martinez and I were thinking about, we talked about this the other day, when he went into the ring with Hagler, we were scared to death. In other words, you know, most of us thought, we're talking smack, blah, 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 yeah, this is our guy, he's going to win. But we went into the fight with Hagler, we were scared. We were scared that Duran was going to get hurt. But then again, he was so prepared, and after about one or two rounds, you realize, you know what? Duran's handling him. You know what? Duran's handling him, and Duran's pot-shotting him with right hands and hitting him with jabs and this kind of stuff. This is stuff Marvin Hagler was not used to. And, of course, Marvin paid him the ultimate compliment after the fight and has in years gone by because he compliments nobody. I mean, he may have respect for people, but he doesn't show it too often. He compliments no one. Anyway, bottom line is, you know what he said about Duran? That's one sneaky guy. Got a sneaky right hand. Sneaky right hand, yeah. Sneaky right hand that kept catching you. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This time it's real. Lenny Williams, my buddy, of course, did a concert last night, a virtual concert on Facebook. Of course, you can catch out Lenny Williams. Check out Lenny Williams. Go to his Facebook page. I think the concert can be replayed over and over again. It was pretty hot. He's changed his show. Sort of a nightclub act, I thought, sort of. Anyway, the bottom line is Lenny was rocking and rolling last night on Facebook. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I wish I might make you my all-star shine. We don't back down from nobody.
Hold on.
We can take it in the street if you want to.
Man, Frankie Valli sounds 87 years old there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look in the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Frankie Valli unable to tour because of COVID-19. Of course, 87, he was touring. I saw him a couple years ago. He rocked and rolled, no doubt about that. But I wonder sometime, is he lip syncing? I don't know. You are tuned to the inside look in the world, insiders look in the world of boxing and MMA, of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You know, some boxers hold professional jobs, you know, pull jobs outside of boxing as they ascend the ratings, you know, and some of them are turnkey jobs, some of them are real jobs, you know, and then you've got like guys like Joe Louis. Joe Louis was the MC, or sort of like he was the reception, he sort of greeted people at Caesar's Palace. He really didn't do anything. They just gave him a hotel room there and took care of him, gave him money to pay his bills and his medical bills and that kind of good stuff. So they sort of took care of Joe Louis that way. Pat Valentino, he was the maitre d' in San Francisco's, Scoma's restaurant out there on Fisherman's Wharf, one of the most famous restaurants in the city, if not the world. And of course, I used to go there after fights. I remember going there one time after fight. I drilled somebody the night before, and I forget who it was. But anyway, we went to to Scoma's. We went there in a limo. Like five or six of us were in a limo. We were drinking, having a good time, this and that. And Pat Valentino, I'll never forget what he said to me. We took a picture, and Pat said, like, when's your next fight, kid? I said, I don't know. I think 6-7 weeks or something like that. Blah, blah, blah. I don't care. He goes, well, maybe you'll sober up by then. And I thought about it. Man, am I drunk anyway? Bottom line is, a lot of guys have had jobs in the world, outside of the world of boxing, you know, laying telephone poles, that kind of good stuff. But nobody has done exactly what my buddy Yusuf Mack has. That's right. Yusuf Mack, 31-8, 2 draws, 17 KOs. Get this. Gay porn. Got caught. They put it on the internet. The bottom line is life will never be the chain, never be the same. I mean, come on. 31-8, 2 KOs, 2 draws, 17 KOs. Not the greatest fighter in the world. He was a journeyman, no doubt about that, but he's famous for that porn. And I try to tell guys early on, you know, I know guys and girls that have taken pictures. They've been, put it this way. The pictures end up in the wrong spot. So the bottom line is, you don't take pictures. Not back in the day, we used to take Polaroid pictures, okay? But you know, the Polaroids, they're evidence. Anyway, at the end of the day, you don't take pictures, especially in the world of digital, because once it goes up on the internet, guess what? I don't think it ever, ever comes down. The UFC I don't think so. The UFC rocking and rolling. There's no big fights coming up for the rest of the year for the UFC. I mean, they've got, November 21st, the 28th, December 5th. I think the first two cards are going to be in Las Vegas. As far as that, they're to be determined after that, but they've got cards December the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, the 16th of January, the 23rd of January, the 30th of January, the 6th. Anyway, none of these, big UFC events are they putting talent next to? They're just not to. I mean, Curtis Blaydes is going to come back November 28th. Curtis Blaydes can rock. He can hit hard. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's a guy that maybe could vie for the World Heavyweight Championship as far as the UFC is concerned, because in the world of the UFC, the title can change hands any given night. I mean, even a slob can catch can catch one of these guys in a bad position and either knock them out or choke them out or all that kind of good stuff, because there's so many wins. That's the dilemma in professional mixed martial arts fighting. There's so many different ways to win. I mean, there just is. I mean, there is. I mean, win or lose. I mean, you can submission, disqualification, you can lose on points, you can get knocked out. I mean, there's all different ways to go. And of course, when you get rocked the way these guys get rocked, I don't think there's a recovery. I really don't. I mean, having been knocked around as a boxer, never knocked unconscious. I take that back. Are you unconscious when you sort of wake up when your ear hits the canvas? So I guess I was unconscious one time, because I remember my ear hitting the canvas, my right ear hitting the canvas in Las Vegas at the Showboat Hotel, and I'm saying to myself, why is my right ear hurting? And why is everybody sideways? Well, guess what? The reason why everybody was sideways is I was sideways. I had to get up real quick and try to straighten that out. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, I lost in the Nationals 147 pounds, rocking and rolling with a southpaw. You know, that southpaw hitting you from the opposite side. And yeah, I've got some southpaw experience with myself as being a southpaw and ambidextrous fighter. I can go either way. But, you know, there's nothing quite prepares you from a southpaw, even if you've been training with a southpaw. It just doesn't, and there wasn't too many in Newman's gym. I don't think we had a southpaw to go down there for the Nationals. And, you know, you didn't envision running into a southpaw until you ran into one. And once you ran into one, you realize, man, this is going to be difficult. And then there's something you didn't find out unless you were able to scout your guys. You didn't find out until the bell rang. I mean, how's this guy stepping out? I mean, obviously stepping out. Of course, I told you about that Ernie Chavez, who would go on to lose a decision to Meldrick Taylor as a professional. He and I fought at 147, and the day we weighed in on a Tuesday, I weighed 141 and a half. He weighed 147 steaming coming out of the sauna, and we fought like on a Friday, so he gained like almost 20 pounds, he told me. And yikes. And he was a bigger dude. I remember looking across the ring and saying to the guy who was working my corner, "You gotta be kidding me." He goes, "What do you mean? What are you talking about? That ain't him." He goes, "Yeah, that's him." "No, no, that ain't him. Check the passport." We had passports back then. We used to box with these passports. I said, "That's not him." He goes, "What are you talking about?" I go, "No, no, that's not him. That's not the guy I weighed in against. I'm telling you." He goes, "Yeah, Pete, he just cleaned himself up." I said, "He's so much bigger. Look at him." And he was big, man. I mean, Ernie Chavez was big. And he spanked me. There's no doubt about that. But as I walked away from that experience, realizing one thing, I had to dedicate myself and go back down to junior welterweight. And I did, won one more championship and walked away from boxing, of course. Never been knocked out. Been knocked around, but never been knocked out. Big difference. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, the 12th of December, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, Double S, your Curtis Stevenson, the 2016 Olympic silver medalist. Of course, now the former WBO 126-pound champion is going to take on a guy by the name of, and I've heard this guy, I've never heard of this guy's name, so if you have, maybe you can let me know, Toka Khan Clary, 28-2, 19 KOs, 10-round junior lightweight, main event December 12th, the MGM Grand. Of course, that'll be on ESPN. The 10-round co-feature will showcase lightweight Felix El Dynamite Verdeo, the Puerto Rican, 27-1, 17 KOs. Big question marks around him. Can he step up to the upper echelon of his division and win? Of course, he sort of failed in his prior attempt. Of course, he's taken on Masahoshi Nakatani. I think it's the guy, that Teofimo beat? I think so. 18-1, 12 KOs. Of course, that's an ESPN televised, opener, of course. Oh, and the opener. This guy. I think he's a bit of a brute, but people say, "Oh man, have you seen his Edgar the Chosen One Baranga yet?" 15-0, 15 knockouts, of course, from the island of Arica. He's a Puerto Rican kid. I give him props for being Puerto Rican and be able to punch, but he looks like you can punch holes in him. I mean, he just has so many boxing deficiencies. I think that, you know, John the Beast Mugabe, he could box a little bit. A lot of these guys that were monsters could box a little bit. I don't know if Edgar, the Chosen One, can box. I don't know if he can box if he chooses to. That's my point. 15-0, 15 first round knockouts. Of course, they're going to try to continue the script and continue the choreography by putting him in with guys that, you know, are going to probably fail in the first round. I mean, they get him up to 25-0 with 25 first round knockouts. All of a sudden, wow, he's a talk of boxing, right? Not really. He's a fraud. Maybe. Anyway, that'll be an eight round fight featuring the Chosen One, Edgar Berlanga. Of course, I have no doubt in my mind that Shakur Stevenson's headed for superstardom. Okay. At 135. Because there's no fights at 130. There really isn't. I think you need to put on a few more weights. At 135, of course, you got the aforementioned undefeated champion, Teofimo Lopez, the ex-champion, Vasyl Lomachenko. Of course, there's all Devin Haney fought a couple weeks ago, last week, on, what can I say? I wasn't all that impressed with him. You fought him on the Zone. Were you impressed with Haney? There's no way you can walk away from Haney's performance and say to yourself, he's part of that upper echelon, even though he's got, like, the internet championship. That's what he says. Ryan Garcia says the internet champion. Was it Ryan? Somebody says he's the two-time, Teofimo said he's a two-time email champion. I'm talking about Devin Haney, San Francisco, California, 26-0, 17 KOs. Of course, the WBC lightweight champion with an asterisk next to it, because when Teofimo fought Vasyl Lomachenko, it said that Vasyl Lomachenko was a WBC franchise champion at that weight. So outside of that, why would there another be? I don't need the WBC, I guess. Anyway, the franchise championship, of course, these different sanctioning bodies trying to designate one championship from another. It's a little bit tough when you got two champions walking around, maybe three or four, maybe sometimes two in the same sanctioning body. I mean, the WBA's got a world champion and a super world champion. What's the difference? The title belt and the sanctioning body. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. So the year of boxing, 2020. Interesting look back. I mean, you know, of course, COVID sort of sliced a big hole in that, and there would have been some big fights this year. Of course, I think that Tyson Fury would have been in action a little bit more, maybe with at least one fight. And, of course, Deontay Wilder, I'm so disappointed in Deontay is that, you know, you don't say that. I mean, saying that Mark Breland spiked his water, if Mark Breland was a jerk, he'd sue him. But Mark's not that type of guy. I mean, if he pissed me off to the point where if he said that about me, I mean, I would have to go out and try to make money as a trainer in the future, right? So how am I going to go out there and make money when you look up my name and says, you know, I'm thinking about having Pedro Fernandez train me. So then you look up, you Google Pedro Fernandez, the trainer, and you say, well, his one big client, his huge client, Deontay Wilder, the former world heavyweight champion, said that he drugged him in a fight and put muscle relaxers in his water and that kind of stuff. I mean, could you trust Mark Breland 1,000%? Because you need to trust your guy in the corner. You need to have that 1,000% trust. You need to. You need to have that trust. I remember when I had guys work corners I didn't know, going out to the valley and fighting guys down in the valley with substitute trainers, and you'd show up with another guy and both of you guys would fight on the card and you wouldn't know what was happening until you got to the weigh-in and they put a guy in your corner, that kind of stuff. So you had hobo cornermen, but when I had good cornermen for good fights, it paid off. You gotta have good people in the corner, no doubt about that. Speaking of good people in the corner, what was going on last week with King Kong Ortiz? Of course, Luis Ortiz, the 47-year-old Cuban, 57-year-old Cuban. Have I lied yet? 67-year-old Cuban. No, he's so old. Of course, Cubans, I told you, lie about their age because when they get over here, fresh off the boat or however you want to say it, wherever they get there, how old are you? Well, they don't have to prove it. Well, you know, I'm such and such an age. And I think Ortiz, he says he's 38 now, but I think he's a little bit older than that, closer to 45 than 38. Anyway, he took 45 seconds to beat a guy by the name of Alexander Not-So-Great Flores. Now 18-3 with a draw and 16 wax. I don't know what was going on there, except it smelled. I mean, really bad. I mean, you can smell doo-doo through the screen. Not too many times can you get a boxing match where you can smell doo-doo through the screen, but you smell doo-doo through the screen. And Luis Ortiz, I think, was the most surprised guy in the place. He was. I mean, 45 seconds, this guy's laying down like, it's all over. It's all over. Anyway, boxing's confusing weight divisions. Boxing's going to come up with a new weight division between light heavyweight and cruiserweight, which maybe you need it. Okay, so, you know, you want to think about this because the idea for a 200-pound, take it back, it's a 200 to 224-pound bridge weight division that's being proposed by the WBC at their virtual convention. Of course, Don Majewski, the famed agent, ended up coming up with this. Other names were considered for this one, Dreadnought and Juggernaut division. Bottom line is, does boxing really need another belt in another division? Well, when there's a size disparity between people, and size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, when you have a size discrepancy between two guys, you've got to bring it smaller. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm all down for these 4-pound weight divisions. People say to me, our 3-pound weight division, guy from 112 to 115 pounds, there's a difference in those guys. A guy at 108 pounds is smaller than a guy at 112 pounds. I mean, it just is, especially at those lighter weights who move up to 126 to 130. There's a size difference. I told you earlier about me moving from junior welterweight to welterweight. I mean, you know, I thought I was a decent sized welterweight. I wasn't. When I went to the Nationals, I realized these guys are much, much bigger than me. Much bigger than me. So, you know, after I got spanked, I went back to 139. But at 139, I was a big junior welter, but a small welterweight. Are all these weight classes worthy? I mean, think about this. 105, 108, 112, 115, 118, 122, 126, 130, 135, 140 pounds, 147, 154 junior middleweight or super welterweight, 160 is middleweight, 168 super middleweight, 175 light heavyweight. Right now, 200 pounds is cruiserweight. So is there too much between those two guys there? Is there too much between those two weight classes? I think there is. I think that's where a new belt is needed. I think you want to put a new belt in. Don't put it from 220 up there in that 200-pound weight class. Put it down there where you need it. 25 pounds is a hell of a lot of weight for 175 to 200 pounds. Bring the cruiserweight division or bring it back to 190, one or the other. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my trainer, my coach, my side, threw in the towel, and you know, I'm ready to go out on my shield, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of things going on coming into this fight, but it is what it is. You know, my leg was already re-coming in due to other little things, but you know, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
Well, I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him, so I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die, never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Should I go to the police station?
That's because when I was an old man, I put on a boxing clinic at the Times Square Gym in New York City during the WBC convention. That's what Don King was blown away by. He's like, good Lord, hey. Bottom line is, at one point in time, I could fight a little. That's what Jack Fisk said. He could fight a little. Anyway, November 15, 1984, the Night of Gold took place in Madison Square Garden. Of course, everybody turned pro from the 84 Olympic team, with Dan Duva being the promoter and Shelley Finkel being the manager, Mark Breland, the aforementioned Mark Breland, Tyrell Biggs, Pernell Whitaker, Meldrick Taylor, Evander Holyfield, and Virgil Hill. Of course, Virgil Hill, wow, the guy from... We had some ties with Virgil Hill. And, of course, on the same date as far as boxing history is concerned, wow, November 15, 1962, Cassius Clay stops Archie Moore in the fourth round in L.A. Of course, he said he would stop Moore in four, and he did, no doubt about that. Moore is no doubt about that. One of the most – you never knew how to – Archie was, like, not bipolar, but very unpredictable. I mean, sometimes you went up to him with the same thing, like, hi, Archie, and sometimes he was happy, sometimes he wasn't. Anyway, November 14, 1966, Ali's probably most impressive – defense as far as heavyweight championship is concerned the first time around. Cleveland Big Cat Williams, wow, he took him out in three rounds. Ali had made nine defenses of his first title reign. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. The voice there singing this song is Mr. Lenny Williams. You can check out his virtual concert on Facebook. Go to Lenny Williams' page at Facebook. You can check out his virtual concert. It's rock and roll. Lenny's got a good show. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can be doing a million things right now, but the fact you listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. Thank you for listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.